speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, we thank you, first of all, for all the good things of 2024 and the bad things that helped us to look to you for strength, and you turned them into something good. And we pray for 2025. Lord, may we just draw closer to you and bless and look after us, we pray. Bless our church, and Lord, just help us now. Fill me with your spirit. Control me completely with your spirit, and help us to be attentive. And Lord, draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, being New Year's Eve, I thought I'd ask you some New Year's Eve trivia, okay? And these are multiple choice, okay? And I'm not going to embarrass anybody and point, you know, but you raise your hand if you think you know the answer and would like to answer that. We'd like to have full participation, okay? All right. Question number one, New Year's trivia. What Eastern European food tradition is carried on in the U.S. for good luck? Is it, okay, John, I saw your hand, so you get to answer this. I'm going to give you multiple choice, okay? A, eating Hershey's chocolate. B, eating bush beans. C, eating black-eyed peas. Or D, eating cabbage. Eating cabbage. That is right. Good job. Question number two. In what year did the ball-lowering celebration in Times Square first take place? 1953, 1920, 1907, or 1900? Gwen? It might have with Dick Clark, who never looked old, but the original was some other time. Anything else? That is incorrect. But I appreciate the valiant try. Okay, now you narrowed down to 1920, 1900, or 1907. Who wants to take a shot? Okay, take a shot. That's incorrect. Okay, now you're down to two. Marcia? 1907. Okay, next question. How much confetti drops in Times Square on New Year's Eve? How much? Is it 3 ton, 2 buckets, more than 1 ton, or 16 ton? Okay, you guys on the balcony can play too. All right, who had their hand up down there? Larry? That's incorrect. Connie? That is incorrect. Cheryl? Yeah, more than 1 ton. Ding, ding. That is correct. That is right. Okay, next question. I thought this was pretty crazy, so I thought I'd read this to you. In what country is it a tradition to jump off a chair at midnight on New Year's Eve to avoid having bad luck in the new year? Is that Canada? Is that Denmark? Is that England? Or is that Chile? No one wants to buy. Connie. Ding, ding. That is right. That is the correct answer. All right. Next question. What's the name of the annual New Year's Day parade that takes place in Pasadena, California? Is it the Orange Parade? Is it the Rose Parade? Is it the Fiesta Parade? Or is it the Sugar Parade? Bruce, did I see your hand on that one? Rose Parade. That is the right answer. Good. All right, next question. How many people watch the Times Square ball drop around the world? Is that 5 billion, more than 1 billion, 300 million, or 600 million? How many watch it on television, the Times Square ball drop? Ryan? That is incorrect. That is not right. Okay, you got three. You got one out of three chance right now. Is it 300 million, 5 billion, or more than a billion? Gwen? More than a billion. More than a billion. That is the right answer. All right. Next question. What famous action did Abraham Lincoln take on January 1st, 1863? Was it the Gettysburg Address, his first inaugural address, his second inaugural address, or the Emancipation Proclamation? That was January 1st, 1863. Ken? The Emancipation Proclamation. That is correct. That is the right answer. Okay, next question. How much does the Times Square ball weigh? Is it 15,000 pounds, 2,500 pounds, 4,261 pounds, or 11,875 pounds? You might want to take a guess on that? 2,506 pounds, 15,100 pounds, 11,875 pounds, or 4,261 pounds. Amy? That is incorrect. Connie? Yeah, 4,261 is incorrect. Okay, you only got two to choose from. 15,100 or 11,875? 11,875, Bruce. That is the right answer. All right, here you go. On December 31st, 1935, Charles S. Darrow received a patent for his invention of what popular board game? That would be the same day we're at now, December 31st, but in 1935. Was it Monopoly, was it Trouble, was it Life, or was it Chutes and Ladders? Ken? Monopoly, that is correct. All right, one more question. One more question. That is right. Last question. Who sings the popular version of the Auld Lang Syne we know of today? Is it the Glenn Miller Band, Frank Sinatra, Huey Lewis and the News, or Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians? Amy? That is right. Okay, good. Good job. Now, did you notice whenever you got it right, I said that's right? Now, is there anything better than getting it right? I mean, you like getting it right, right? You're a little disappointed. What we're going to talk about tonight is getting it right in 2025. Getting it right in 2025. These questions I ask you were trivia. But you know what? Getting it right as a Christian in 2025 is anything but trivial. Would you agree with that? I don't know about you, but I want to try my best to get it right for the Lord in 2025. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Getting it right in 2025. Getting it right in 2025. Philippians 3. Verses 7 to 14. I'll read those, then we'll look at them for a little bit. It says, Paul writes to the Philippian church, and remember, this is called the epistle or the letter of joy by a lot of folks. It's written from a Roman prison, and yet he can talk about joy a lot. And he's talking about his life for the Lord. He says, but what things were gained to me? Now, he just mentioned some things about his own life. He was zealous and he was circumcised the eighth day. He was the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, on and on, Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee. He said all that, but then he goes on in this verse and says, but what things were gained to me, what looked good on paper and looked good to other people, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. getting it right in 2025. As I look at this, I come up with four different points this evening. First of all, a right perspective on this world. A right perspective on this world. If we want to get it right in 2025, we've got to look at the world in the right way. So that's why it's called a right perspective on this world. Notice what those verses say. The things that basically look good to me or were gained to me, I counted them as what? Loss for Christ. So all the things that people may applaud about me and praise me for, I counted it loss for Christ. It's not nothing to grab a hold of, nothing that I'm interested in really keeping. It says in verse 8, it says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." What's he saying? Everything in life that you can compare to Christ falls short of Christ. Everything compared to his excellency. And it says, according to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So if you want to compare anything in this world to your relationship with Christ, they fall way short. It's like, that's lost. It lost right there. You know, we're in a season, winning and losing means a lot in basketball, right? It did in football, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty there in the football playoffs, and we got basketball going on. I don't know, we got hockey going on too, I think, don't we? We got all kinds of sports going on. Winning and losing is everything. And Paul makes it very clear, everything in life is a loss compared to Christ. He is it. It says in verse 8 also, it goes on and says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Paul says, I gave up everything for Christ. Now, I don't think there's probably anybody here who says, I've given up everything for Christ. He says, I've given up everything for Christ, and he doesn't regret it. And he says in verse 8, latter part, "And do count them but dung or refuse that I may win Christ." You know, everything of this world, all the applause of this world, all the pleasures of the world, all the toys of this world, all the things of this world are like refuse compared to Jesus and my relationship with him. I mean, that's kind of sticks out a little bit, doesn't it? He's saying what he means and means what he says, right? How do you look at the world? I think of that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." You know, that's the way we should look at this world. This is just a temporary place. You know, enjoy the things you can enjoy, but make sure that Christ is all in all. Christ is number one. Christ is where my priority lies. So first of all, right perspective on this world. Getting it right in 2025, point number one, a right perspective on this world. It's not my home. I'm not going to stay here. This world's not even going to last forever. Point number two, a right priority of God. A right priority of God in verses 9 and 10. Notice what it says. It says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." Not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. You know, we need to make sure that God is a priority. And if we're ever going to experience righteousness, it's only through Christ. You know, we can try, we can psych ourselves up all we want to, but righteousness is only going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he needs to have priority in our lives. And notice what it goes on to say. And this is pretty amazing. He says, which is through the faith, the righteousness which is of God. And then he says, this is my heart's desire. This is my priority. And then he mentions three things. He says, first of all, that I may know him. That I may know him. Do you know there's a lot of Christians that know very little about God? I mean, they don't seem to be too interested in finding out a whole lot more about him, to be honest with you. They're just kind of content, happy, status quo. You know what we ought to want every day? We ought to want to know God more and more every day. If we don't have that desire, we probably need to look at our heart and life and make sure it's right. Because God is to be our priority. And I really believe that while we're in this earth, we should get to know God more and more and more and more. Will we ever fully comprehend God? No, I don't think so. But it ought to be something that we strive for, even in 2025, that we get to know God more and more every day. So he says that I may know him, and notice what else he says, and the power of his resurrection. He says, I not only want to know you, God, more as the priority that I should be seeking, but I also want to know the power of his resurrection. You know, there was infinite power in the resurrection because that power to raise Jesus come from God the Father, right? So there's infinite power. I don't know about you. That sounds pretty good to me. I want to know his power. I want to see it in my life. I want to see it in my family. I want to see it in my church. I want to see it in my community. I want to see it in our country in revival. And he says, I want to know you, God, and I want to know the power. You know, I think for the most part, we as Christians live so powerless lives. I mean, so much powerless. I mean, it's like God is an infinite source of power. And then sometimes we just kind of like, ho-hum, I'm barely getting by. I mean, where's the problem? The problem is not with the power source. The problem is with us. You know, when you plug something in, you're charging something, your phone or whatever, charging it, your cordless battery or whatever. When you plug it in, the problem is not with the power source. The problem might be with the cord sometimes, right? Or the recipient is like, oh, it's not receiving charge. We have all the power at our disposal because it's God. I mean, not just to get what I want, but to do what he wants me to do. And yet we just kind of, I'd like to know his power more, wouldn't you? I want to know him more. I want to know his power more. The next one makes us all a little bit uncomfortable. It says, not only do I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know what I really think he's saying? I want to serve God so much and so strongly and stand up so boldly that for the cause of Christ, I will be persecuted. It's not like I want to be persecuted. I want to serve God so much that the world looks at me and says, you see what the difference in the emphasis? I think he's saying, I want to serve God so much that I suffer persecution for Christ. You know, part of the reason we as Christians today in America suffer so little persecution, one big blessing is we have freedom, but the other one is we just don't stand up as much as we should. So, we need to make a right priority of God in 2025. It says, I believe each one of us are faced with lots of choices in life, don't you? And those choices flow from our priorities. The choices we make flow from the priorities that we have in our hearts and lives. The right priority is always God. Can I say it's really sad that most of the time when we make decisions, we don't make it based upon God's will. We don't make it upon God being a priority. We make it what we want. And that's why so many times we are powerless. Getting it right in 2025. First of all, right perspective on this world. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Bible says, lay your treasures up in heaven. Second, a right priority of God. He needs to be number one. It seems to me that Paul was serious about this, and he lived it out in his life. Third point out of four, a right pursuit of God's will. A right pursuit of God's will. Notice what it says, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul is not saying that I hope that I get saved, because he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew the Lord Jesus, right? But he wanted to serve God as best he could and have a good report when he got to the heaven. And he says, not as though I had already attained. He used the word attain there. I might attain. Not as though I had already attained, in verse 12, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I mean, can you see his pursuit here? Attain, follow after, apprehend, apprehended. You know, and it says, my goal is here. My goal is found. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Wow. What's he saying there? I think he's saying I'm pursuing God's will. Why in the world did God save me? You know, God saved you for a reason. Now, a lot of those general things, we know the reason to praise God and to serve God and to put Him first and all that. But He also saved you for a specific reason. And I'm perplexed sometimes that people are so clueless when I mention things like this. They kind of look at me with a blank stare like, really? Yeah. God saved you for a specific purpose. And I'm one of those people, I'm big in local church. I mean, you cannot be right with God and ignore your local church. So if you connect the dots there, that means that God has a plan for you in this church. And by golly, we better get going with it. I mean, we better say, okay, God wants me to do that. I'm going to do it, by golly, to the best of my ability. You see, the right pursuit of God's will is crucial for 2025. I mean, some of us live our lives like, oh, I'll make that decision later. I'll do that later. I'll do that later. Yeah, I'll do that later. Folks, you're not getting any younger. I'm not getting any younger either. We need to make sure that we have the right pursuit of God's will. I mean, I really believe that God saves each one of us for a specific role in God's master plan. And Paul was saying, you know, I'm seeking after it. I want to know that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. I really think if you want to put it in layman's terms, I think what he's saying is, I want to know why God saved me. And I want to be right smack dab in the center of His will. You know, as we've said many times, many pursue pleasure and money and status and all those things. But the best pursuit that you and I can have is God's will. God's will. And I really believe that if everybody here at Oakmount got plugged into where God wanted them to be, we would be running like a fine oiled machine. Now, not that we're not, I think we're doing pretty well. I really do. I think we're doing the outreach and I think we're standing for the truth. I really do. I'll commend you. I think Oakmount is a good church, but I think we could be better. And if we got plugged in exactly where God wanted us and people that just sometimes just show up and then some that are just here but not serving in any way, or some folks that are coming who aren't members and never have joined, if we just kind of get hold of that and say, you know what, I want to do at Oakmount what God wants me to do. I don't know of any better time than 2025, do y'all? Just get plugged right in there. I think it's important. Like I said, I think our lives ought to revolve around God and it ought to revolve around the local church. I mean, I think it's the way God intended it. I mean, it's the only organization mentioned in Scripture that God's work is to move forward in. I mean, we could be lone rangers, absolutely, but we're not going to accomplish what God wants us to without the body of Christ, the local body called the local church. Tonight, getting it right in 2025, a right perspective on this world, very temporary, not going to be here long. Second, a right priority of God. We need to be seeking after God and exactly what He wants us to do. We need to make sure that we are seeking after God, number one. He is the reason that we have everlasting life. Thirdly, a right pursuit of God's will. It seems like Paul is pretty clear that he wants to know why God saved him and get right smack dab in the center of God's will there. Number four, a right prize from God. A right prize from God. Notice verse 13, the latter part. It says, I'll just read the whole verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, for 2025, one of the best things we can do is look back at 2024 and all the ways we messed up and failed God, learn from it, ask God to forgive us, and then forget it and move on. I mean, there's a lot of Christians who live defeated lives. I mean, people that have had terrible, I mean, honestly, and their terrible childhoods, they don't ever get over it. I mean, I understand it, and I understand the struggle and the hurt, and I get all that. But folks, 2025 is only, what is that, 4.5 hours away? We need to forget the past. I mean, Paul had a lot of past to forget. I mean, remember, he was zealous. He was killing Christians. He was on the opposite side in this war, this spiritual war. And he changed his side. And if he says we need to forget the stuff, the bad stuff of the past, do it. I mean, remember the good things of God and remember the lessons that you have learned. But I mean, Did you fail God in 2024? Yeah. Did I fail God in 2024? Yeah. Well, let's just pick it up and move on from here and do the best we can, right? A right prize from God. He says, forget those things which are behind. The failures of 2024, I just throw in there in way of commentary. And then he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, I think that's a perfect verse right here as we transition into a new year. You know, quit worrying about the failures of 2024 or before that even. Again, I'm not making light of sin and our failures. I mean, absolutely, ask God to forgive you of those sins, restore that close fellowship, forsake those sins, absolutely. But he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Who knows what 2025? Remember, I'm praying by July 4th, we had 365 new people come to this church. Only got about a half a year to do it. And if it doesn't happen, that's all right. God's God, but that's my prayer. I mean, you think about the ministry opportunities in 2025. You look at the opportunities we have to impact this world for Jesus and the testimony that we have. Yeah, there'll be bad stuff happening in 2025. But what about the good stuff we have to look forward to? I mean, I heard several of you express praise to God that he saw you through 2024. Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, there's no reason in the world why 2025 can't be the best year ever for this church. It can't be the best year ever for you spiritually as a Christian before God or for your family. Or do y'all agree with that? He says, forgetting those things which are behind, forget the failures of 2024 and beyond, reaching forth unto those things which are before, the ministry opportunities and service of 2025. Notice what he says, I press. I press. You know, 2025 could have a lot of hard work for us, right? A lot of hard work. You know, sometimes it may be kind of hard to get up with a good attitude when things happen the way they do and the way this world is going, right? But he says, I press. Now, some people, y'all familiar with a bench press? You know, lifting weights, you know, bench press. I'm sure I could bench press probably a small compact car. Of course, I'm talking about a matchbox car, but that's okay. But when you say bench press, you think, man, that's hard work. When you talk about pressing for the Lord, that's hard work. But Paul didn't shy away from hard work. And neither should we. And I commend you as a church. When we got work to do, people show up and do the work. But again, can we work a little harder? Probably. Probably. I press. And notice what he says. Toward the mark for the prize. For the mark for the prize. You know what I think of when I see mark? That word mark? Bullseye. God's best. I am pressing. I am working hard toward God's best. What God wants. You've heard me say quite often that a good thing, if it's not the best thing, is a bad thing. We need to press forward for the best thing. I mean, what does God have for our church? What does God have for our families? What does God have for our life? We need to be seeking after that. And I'm amazed at how some Christians are just so lackadaisical about the Lord. I mean, the Lord's coming back. You know, the Lord could come back any moment. He might come back in 2025. Will he find you pressing forward, working hard, moving forward for God's best, the mark? And then it says, toward the mark for the prize. For the prize. What's the prize in this world? Blessings, right? I want to be blessed by God. How about you? Let's take a survey. How many of you like to be blessed by God? Okay, you're either asleep or very slow in your reflexes. I want to be blessed by God. And the way to be blessed by God is to seek after God's best for your life. And what he wants you to do is say, where do you want us in 2025? What about in the future? Is God going to reward us? Absolutely. 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt, according to the word of God, God's going to reward you for seeking after God's best or the mark. And the prize is blessing now. I mean, sometimes I've I've heard the story that in heaven, you know, they's given the guy that just died and was in heaven, child of God, and they showed him all around heaven, and it was this huge building, had all kind of wonderful stuff in it. He said, what in the world's that? He said, it's all the blessings that I wanted to shower on my people on earth, but never did, because they didn't seek after those blessings. And can I add for the purpose of the lesson tonight? Because we didn't seek God's best for us. And we've settled long enough as Christians. I think we ought to be doing our best for the Lord. What do you think? It says, toward the mark for the prize, that's a reward now and later, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the high calling of God? Again, there's several hints to this as you read through it. But I really believe that it's God's perfect plan for you. You know, it really couldn't be higher, could it? If God looks at you and says, you know what, this is what I want him to do, how in the world could it be a higher calling than that? I think it was D.L. Moody one time said something about, you know, something about being president. People said you should run for president. He said, why in the world would I do that? I got a higher position than I'm a preacher. We got a higher position than that. We're children of God. There's nothing wrong with running for president. I'd like to see some very strong, solid, absolute, stand for God Christians running for all the offices, really, local and on up, wouldn't you? But our highest calling is to do what God wants us to do. That perfect plan for our life, because we are saved. Blessings are real in this life and the next. You know, we sometimes in this world accumulate certificates and medals and ribbons and trophies. I've won 2 trophies in my life. Are you impressed? Yeah. 2 trophies. 2nd grade, spelling. I finished 2nd. And I got a little trophy, a little plastic trophy about that big. And I think I still have it somewhere. I was like, wow. I never was the best speller. I was a pretty good speller, but I never was the best speller. You know how they line you up and give you a word and, you know, 2nd place. Are y'all really impressed with me? the other one, I think there's a trend here. This was 2nd place too. This was horseshoe pitching at Tyler County Fair. 2nd place. Me and my partner finished 2nd place. As far as I know, that's it. But a lot of people accumulate a bunch of trophies and a bunch of toys, a bunch of certificates and medals and ribbons and all that. But you know, nothing can compare to the blessings of God in this life and the blessings of God in the next life in the form of rewards. You know, a right prize from God. Tonight, getting it right in 2025, a right perspective on this world. Every one of us ought to keep in mind, we're only here a short time. This is not my home. It seems like a lot of Christians are living their lives like this is for eternity and heaven's just going to disappear. It's just the opposite. This is only a little blip on the radar. Heaven is forever. A right perspective on this world. Secondly, a right priority of God. A right priority of God. I'm thankful that our priority is supposed to be God. That's a good, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Everything in our life ought to revolve around God. A right priority of God. Thirdly, we looked at tonight a right pursuit of God's will. I don't believe Paul was content with where he was in his walk with God, even to this point. We say, oh, Paul, you know, that's a Christian for you. Man, that's a servant for you. Hell, look at all the things that he did. But he wasn't content with that. He wanted to keep on pressing forward for the cause of Christ. And lastly, we looked at a right prize from God. He was seeking that prize, that reward, blessings in life and blessings in the afterlife. You know, I don't believe anything will compare. I don't believe there's anything in this life will ever, 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 ever compare to being blessed and rewarded by God. You know, some of your poorest people in the world were hugely blessed by God. So you can't look at them and say God didn't bless them. Yes, he did. He blessed them in huge ways. Better ways than money. Golly goodness. And I don't know if there's anything, any sweeter words that we might conceivably be able to hear. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. You know, we all like to hear, you're right. You're right. Getting it right in 2025 is important. And as we're about ready to turn our calendars to a brand new year, tonight I thought we'd spend some time, and that's what we've done tonight, getting God's perspective on how to get it right in 2025. And it's not a trivial matter. It's not a trivial matter. It's very, very important. Do you want to get it right in 2025? If you would bow your head for just a moment, let me ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but do you have the right perspective on this world? Do you have the right perspective on this world that it's only temporary, we're just passing through? If God is speaking to your heart right now that you may not have the right perspective, would you ask Him to forgive you and to help you to have the right perspective on this whole world? Secondly, do you have the right priority of God? Is God really number one in your life? Number one. Do you want to know Him more and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering? Is that what you want for your life? Is it your number one priority? Do you have the right priority of God? If God is speaking to your heart that you may not, that you have other things that are higher than the Lord in your life, would you spend a moment asking to forgive you and help you to make Him your number one priority? Thirdly, do you have the right pursuit of seeking God's will in everything? Do you have the right pursuit of seeking God's will in everything? As we are about ready to go into a new year, are you pursuing God's perfect will for your life? Really doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you know Jesus, are you seeking God's perfect will in everything? If God is speaking to your heart about that, would you talk to Him for a moment? And lastly, will you receive the right prize from God for your service in 2025 in particular? Will you receive the right prize, the blessings of God, by doing it God's way in 2025? If God is speaking to your heart in that area, would you talk to the Lord for a moment? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the new year coming along. There's something kind of exciting about facing a new year. Lord, I'm sure there'll be challenges, but I pray that in our walk with You, Lord, it'll be our best year ever. Lord, that we'll get it right in 2025 by having the right perspective and the right priority and the right pursuit and the right prize, all these things in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds. And Lord, I pray that You'll just use us as individuals, use our families, use our church in big ways for the kingdom of God in 2025. We pray this in Jesus' name.